Hello.
Hello.
Hello, people in the future.
What?
So basically, guys, I am not here at the moment. Apologies.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
No,
here.
I'm not here. This is me. This is Laura recording in the past for this episode. And everything's fine, by the way. That makes it sound like I've been abducted or something has happened to me. I'm totally fine. I've just got a lot going.
I knew that you'd go to Jersey and you'd get stuck there and
me.
You'd stay there.
Martin made me record this before I go to Jersey in case I get kidnapped.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, basically a lot's going on at the moment. Nothing bad. It's all good things, but it's just a lot to deal with. So I haven't had time to sit down with lovely Martin and record something. But because we're so efficient, you'll still hear me for a little bit in the show.
Yes.
I mean, maybe that you might be sad about that, but I'll still be in the show for a bit.
Good. Thank you, Chris. Do you want to say
you.
Welcome to Nullpoir just to get
oh,
our money?
Oh, I suppose I will. Yeah, go on then. Welcome to Nullpoir!
Nullpoir is shameful.
Nullpoir is lack of respect for universe.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoir is no fun.
So no Cress then for the podcast today. So I've been looking for someone else to help me out, and my first choice was immediately Liz Allen from our sister podcast Douzepoint in Australia. Liz, welcome to Nullpoir.
Woohoo! Thank you. Very excited. Well, of course, you want to class up the show. What do? You get an Australian.
Exactly. And there's so much to talk about on the podcast. By the way, just to say, Cress will be making a return a little bit later on because she's doing trivia time. So Cress will be back a little bit later on in the podcast. But before all that, there is much to talk about. There's a bit of Australian news I noticed going round, isn't there, about Eurovision at the moment? There's some 2022 gossip.
Oh, is there? Tell me the gossip.
Wasn't it to do with what's going on in terms of like the selection process and how, and that Australia Decides is making a return in terms of how it's choosing who it's sending to Italy in 2022?
Yes. Oh, that old hat. Yes. Yes. Well, of course, last year, Australia didn't get to make a choice as to the performer and the song that we were sending to Eurovision. We did what some countries did. Basically, we just pre-selected Montaigne, who missed out in 2020 because it was cancelled.
And you weren't happy about the song.
Oh,
I remember that.
My Lord. Well, I would say the fact that they were very quick to announce that this year we're going back to selecting, I think, is them reflecting how shit our song was last year. Like, I want to take this moment to humbly apologise for the song and the performance. I don't know what happened. We sucked. Like, it's just, it was awful. I said to you before, I wanted to immigrate just so I could give us a Nullpoir. It was so terrible. And that's what happens when you don't give the people a voice, you know? Look at, I don't want to rub salt in the wounds, but England since, 2013?
Yeah. I know.
Sorry, the UK.
I know it's been a bit of a disaster. Maybe we can talk about this a little bit later where the UK is going wrong, because it's always good to get somebody who isn't from here's perspective on that. So the Australian public are going to be quite pleased then that they're getting a say. How does Australia Decides work? What system do they use to work out who's going to be the entry?
Essentially, and what's really good about it is basically all of the Eurovision fans fly up to the Gold Coast, sunny Gold Coast. We get very excited. We arrive a day early. We get sunburn. We get drunk. And then we show up very sad and sorry on the actual day of our grand final. We basically just have the selection of songs and performers. They actually perform the night before while we're all getting sunburned for the jury. And then the next night they trot them all out. They give us a performance for us. Everybody votes from home. We get like a good hour to send through our televotes. And thus the winner is picked, whether we're happy about it or not.
So you get a choice then between a choice of song and a choice of different artists. It's not like one artist who does different songs or the same artist who does lots of different ones.
Yeah, no, we basically get a selection. It could be anywhere between six to eight singers or groups, and they present their song, and we pick what is the best package. The year before Montaigne was selected, we actually had Kate Miller-Heidke. We went to that. That was fantastic because, you know, everyone else was like, oh, you know, I kind of like this song. I like this song. Kate Miller-Heidke came out, of course, on her swinging toilet dress, which was stationary at the time. And it was one of those moments where basically the whole atmosphere in the room changed and everyone was like, that's our winner. It was that sort of Excalibur moment where she sort of popped the sword. The next year with Montaigne, a lot of controversy over that one. People were not so definitive of that's the one. And then it just went downhill.
That's going to be interesting, isn't it? I think if there's an obvious standout one, then you know where you are, don't you? But if you haven't quite got that. I like the idea, though, and I like the idea of it feels like a very Eurovision thing. It feels like lots of Eurovision fans are involved in the process, which I'm not so sure it's necessarily been in the UK when it's happened. Joke acts have almost got through, in fact, and have got through on some occasions. And I think it's been a bit of a downfall for us, but there's many reasons why this is downfall. Anyway, speaking of TV shows, there's more news today, and this is a TV show which doesn't yet exist, but it might do. And I want your thoughts on whether you think this could work and whether you would watch this. So this is a TV show that's been planned in Spain. It's called La Delegación, and it's a drama all about a Eurovision delegation.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I'm fascinated. And to be honest, if it's going to be on Spanish TV, I think there's going to be a lot of gasping, a lot of in Spanish, obviously.
They're saying it's going to be more like a sitcom kind of drama than a sort of gritty reality, which is probably the way to go when you're doing something about Eurovision. It's going to be in the style of a mockumentary based around a Spanish delegation going off to the Eurovision Song Contest and trying to sort of put things together. I think there could be a lot of comedy in that. I think the idea of a sitcom could work quite well.
Oh, I know, but if you remember, I keep going back to the Air Chicky Chicky song, which Spain sent, which they thought was hilarious and ended up being booed on the Eurovision stage. So I have it's one of those really interesting things with comedy. It's, if you have seen the novelty acts, like with that or with like Sylvia Knight, there is, or even the Eurovision movie, there's a very fine line between capturing the heart and poking fun of the spirit at Univision, or just making the crowd very, very angry and gathering pitchforks. So there are brave people.
Yeah, they are, and maybe their idea of humour is maybe slightly different to other people's if they do like that sort of chicky-chicky thing. I don't know whether it's going to be the most hilarious show you've ever watched. But what I quite like the idea of is not necessarily this specifically, but I like the idea that Eurovision it continues to enter people's thoughts and it expands more than just the contest. For example, Story of Fire Saga was all set around the world of Eurovision, and that got so many people who'd never heard of the contest before involved. And I wonder whether things like this will continue to do that, and that can only be a good thing.
Oh, 100%. Like anybody that sort of, draws people into the cult that is Eurovision, it's fantastic. Again, I think you need that combination of, I think you do need some people who are also outside of Eurovision, so it's not too niche, but at the same time you need some diehard fans in there just to put those Easter eggs. That it's kind of like It's like watching Doctor Who as a kid versus watching Doctor Who as an adult. Mm. If I go back and I watch the Tom Baker episodes now, as an adult, there's so much stuff in there I didn't realize as a kid. Leela's outfit, for a start, we won't even talk about.
It's now become a Doctor Who podcast, and welcome.
I do that everywhere I go. I can't help it. So, yeah, I actually really I like the idea. And to be honest, it kind of sounds like somebody who really loves Eurovision just wants to hang out with Eurovision stars. And they're like, how can I find a way to legitimize it so I don't just come across as a crazy stalker? So on that hand, genius.
Yeah, it's a work of genius. Well, you might be waiting some time if you want to watch La Délégation because they've got no producers and they've got no TV channel that wants to air it. But it's a work in progress.
I have heard some interesting news. Did you know that beloved Eurovision star, Dadi, has just had a baby? Clarify that. His lovely partner has just had a baby.
Yeah. He had minimal involvement, but I did see this actually. There's a gorgeous little picture on his Instagram, and the caption is four birds of a feather, and it's him and his wife and their existing child, and then a brand new baby, and oh, it just looks so cute. And I know that there's lots and lots of Dadi fans because he's a big name in Eurovision now. And there's a lot of love for him in the Eurovision fan community, and people will be absolutely delighted about that. In fact, it's had 58,500 likes since he put it on a few days ago.
Wow!
So a lot of love for him.
Aww. My question for you is: do you think Dadi was helpful during the birth? Do you think he was in the room being motivational?
Do you know he's a really laid back guy, isn't he? And I think that would be helpful if you were having a baby. I mean, I've never had a baby, but I've heard it's not a particularly pleasant experience.
Slight inconvenience.
And I think it would be quite helpful to have somebody who is really calm and just being there and just keeping you grounded, keeping you sane, rather than somebody going, oh, I'm going to have a baby. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. He's just going to be, hey, you know, just breathe, just relax. And I think that's got to be useful.
You know what? I have a feeling that, okay, let's just say I don't think you and I should have a baby. Because if I was giving birth and you started doing that to me, I think I would want to punch you in the face.
Okay.
I think I couldn't think of anything worse. It's kind of like when you're upset and someone's like, oh, don't be upset. You know, it'll be okay. Don't stress. Punch, right? You know what? I actually think he went the other way. I think he just organized a choir. And as the baby was born, it was find a new way to grow. That's how I picture it.
Okay. Well, you've got a very vivid imagination, Liz. And I respect you for that. But congratulations, Dadi, on the birth of your new baby. Much, much congratulations from here on Nul Poir. Okay. Liz, have a little break for a moment because it is time for Trivia Time.
Oh, very well done. Hey, I'm back again, everybody. Hello.
Hey.
God knows what you were talking about there, Martin. Sounded like a load of rubbish. Anyway, let's crack on. I'm still here to do... are you doing Trivia Time, Martin?
Yeah,
or is it
I've got a little trivia time for you. So right. Just to see what you make of this, right? Okay. This is the bit of the podcast, by the way, where one of us gives you a little bit of information about stuff that's going on in the Eurovision world that you probably didn't know about, like a little fact, a little bit of nugget of information. And I want to talk a little bit about the Big Five, because I was talking about that last time we did Trivia Time. And if you're not aware of this, the Big Five is what, Cressy?
Oh, am I naming the countries now, or do you just want me to tell
you? You can name the countries, you can explain what the Big Five is.
The Big Five, it's basically five countries who are part of the EBU, who put in a lot of financial support and funding towards Eurovision. So because of that, they skip the semifinals, they get through to the finals automatically. And it's Germany, Spain, Italy, UK and France. Those are the Big Five.
Correct. Very well done. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the sort of the weirdness about the Big Five, okay, and how it all kind of came about. So it was launched, it was announced in 1999, it launched in the year 2000, and it was the Big Four, and then Italy was added later when they came back into the competition later on. But at that point, they decided to cap the maximum number of countries allowed in the final. This is what I love about Eurovision. Everything's a thing, except it's not a thing.
Yeah.
So they capped the maximum number of countries in the final to 26, except when it isn't 26.
Right? Okay.
That's been in place since 2011, apart from when it isn't.
Okay.
So can you think of a situation in which the cap would not be the cap, if you see what I mean? So either more or fewer than 26 countries will be allowed to take part.
Okay, well, more countries join?
So, well, yeah, pretty, essentially. They made an exception in 2015 for Australia. It was given an automatic pass straight into the final as a guest nation. So then the cap went to 27. So this cap that's just random, any odd number, pick a number, that's the cap.
It is basically, isn't it?
So the cap was 27 in 2015. And it has been lower than that on a couple of occasions. One of them was the very first year that they did it, and they capped it. 25.
Is that when Italy dropped out?
It's not what I'm getting at, right?
It's not what I'm getting at.
Whenever a host nation is a member of the Big Five, it means that the cap will be reduced to 25, because obviously where would you get the other one from? Because if you are the host nation, you also get automatically through to the final. It's sort of like the Big Six in brackets, if you see what I mean.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So if you are a member of the Big Five and you host it, then the cap is 25. So what will be happening next year, Chris? How many countries will be in the final based on the information you now know?
25.
Correct.
Yes!
And that there is some proper nerdy information about Eurovision. This is what they love. This is what the punters love.
They love it.
They want a little bit of that. So there you go. That was that edition of. Would you want to do it? Just seeing as you're not really here.
Do you
want to shout trivia time? Because you're not really here.
All right, I'm not really here. So trivia time.
And thank you, Laura. Very awesome to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Cress. And Cress will be back on the podcast next week.
Woo-hoo!
Just picking up on, because before we get to a bit of correspondence on the end of the podcast, I wrote down here, because I thought you'd be a good person to talk to about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a little rant now, because Cress isn't around. She doesn't like my rant. She doesn't like when I get angry about things. But I'm going to do it now, because I want your thoughts on the new scoring system. And I say new, this has been around now for a few years. New scoring system in Eurovision. Mm-hmm. It meant that when James Newman got Nul Poir in 2021, he was effectively getting like double Nul Poir, because not only did he get Nul Poir from the jury, he also got Nul Poir from the televote. So it was like getting Nul Poir twice. But that's been a change in the way things have been done before. Normally, the jury vote and the televote are combined. Before that, it was just the televote. Before that, it was just the jury vote. But now they do this thing where you go all around Europe to all the 45 countries and Australia who all give their votes, and it takes forever, and we do that. But that's just the jury votes. So there they all are on the big screen. You think you know who's won. It's taken forever. And then at the very end, they go, oh, by the way, now we're just going to add all of the votes together from all of the public. And literally the person who was in last could be at the top. And you just think, well, what was the point of the whole last hour that I've just watched if literally everything can change in the blink of an eye? It annoys me so much. It gets on my nerves. Don't do it. The whole thing I like about Eurovision is the stupid maths bit. It's good fun. Don't do the thing where you change it at the very, very last minute with just nonsense. I'm ranting. I'm getting annoyed. What are your thoughts on this one?
I love that. I think this is the steely voice. I think you should lead the revolution. This is where I have arguments with my other half, with my co-host as well, because he is all for the jury system. I actually think what we need to do is just do away with the jury vote altogether. And I think the problem with how they've structured it now is basically it's everything that's wrong with the world today. It's everything that's wrong with capitalism. They let us think that we have a vote. They let us think that we're in charge and we get to have our little votes and we declare who's winner. And then in comes the jury, in comes the 1% and says, no, you're not right. Give up your overtime. Get back to the coal mines. We'll decide who's the winner of Eurovision. I think it's terrible. I think go away with the jury altogether.
Okay, I'm not sure I completely agree with you on this. See, I just don't like the fact that the two are left separate because I think it makes... Because Eurovision, right, very often gets accused of political voting. Uh-huh. And in the days when it was just the public and those were the only votes that you got, it was laid bare which countries were voting for who. And so Greece always votes for Cyprus and you know the deal, right? And it was laid bare for all to see.
No, but see, this is the difference. This is the difference. If you put all of them together, then you're like, oh, things have changed. You know, the people of Greece, you know, are not voting for like Macedonia.
Yeah, well, exactly. This is my point. Because they lump all of the votes together from the thing, they are disguising the political voting that goes on within the public.
I want us to know. I want us to know so then we can be outraged and be like,
that's it, me too. I want to know. I want to know who's 100%. Giving how many points to who.
Absolutely. But I mean, the problem is, like, the problem is for me is you see it with cases such as, I mean, Keno is the best example. Like, you have someone who wins the televote and then gets zero with the jury and ends up six. Oh my God, the Slavic Girls is another one.
Poland.
We the People. We love Polish women washing their clothes. You go, you good sister, doing your duties. Just washing a shirt. You know, good on you. We feel you.
Yeah.
Just be way with the jury. That being said, at the same time, it is very enjoyable to watch the UK get zero twice.
Okay. Yeah, I wondered when this.
That's
was
always fun. I don't know anyone who doesn't think that's a good time.
Yeah.
That's the highlight.
Fair
we
enough.
Gather around the children. Come on, children. The UK is about to get 00.
Oh no!
Again.
I knew there'd be a matter of time before Liz started a rant on how much she enjoys watching the UK fail, and it's begun.
I'm not saying I enjoy it. Well, I do enjoy it, but it's kind of it's like the moon rising. Oh, look, the UK. Null pois.
All I'm saying is, Liz, you know, I wouldn't make too much noise about it because you never know what's going to happen to Australia in the future. Australia's not been doing too brilliant recently. And
We had one clanger. Calm your farm. Do you want me to read through the list? Okay.
No,
are we going
to
talk about Daz Sampson? Are we going to talk about Scooch?
But I just let's not read through the list. I know you've got a list. Don't read the list. Put the list away and just calm yourself down. Oh dear. Okay. We need to end this quit while we're ahead here and whilst we're still on speaking terms. So
Before you do, can I ask? Okay. Mm. Now, I know that you and Laura are putting together what is going to be a Eurovision classic, I'm sure.
We're working on it.
But has anyone else in the past week put up their hand as well that isn't an F-grade celebrity from the 80s?
Not yet.
Oh,
see, most of the people that put their names in the hat are people that you've never heard of. So that's why we think that if they're all going to do it, then why not us? But not yet. We need a big name. We need the Ed Sheerans of this world. Let's get them doing it. But they won't do it because they don't want their reputations ruined, which ultimately they would be.
Oh, no, I see. That's it. It's not that it's the UK that you're getting null pois. It's you're sending shit. Like, I think if you create the clangor.
We've discussed this many times before. You're so right. It is. And on that note, let me just do correspondence, because maybe you've had a thought about some of the stuff we've been talking about today. Maybe you want to talk about the scoring system. Maybe you want to talk about Australia or the idea of a TV program, about Eurovision delegations and whether you'd watch it. Maybe you want to wish Darthy congratulations on his baby. Whatever it is, do get in touch. Loads of ways to do it. There's Instagram. There is Twitter. No, Cress normally does this bit. There's nullpoispodcast@gmail.com. Just find us. And there's a YouTube. We have a YouTube channel as well where Cress and I go and have a look at songs that got null pois in Eurovision. And just to bring you a little bit of correspondence from that, we were talking about Crybaby by Gemini, a UK entry that got null pois. Kat says, just talking about technical difficulties, you know, they blame technical difficulties to why they weren't singing in tune. You remember that later? Oh, yeah, the earpiece didn't work and we actually didn't know what we were singing. We couldn't hear ourselves. Kat makes the point, how come nobody else was that bad? It is a fair point, Kat. Received and understood. And on another YouTube video where we looked at Norway's Jahn Teigen with Mil et Mil, TH says the null pois is what made it, and him legendary. He would never have changed those points for anything. Well, he didn't have any points to change, but I take your point. Thank you very much, TH. Liz, thank you so much for being my co-host today. It's been absolutely brilliant. I've enjoyed it so much. Look,
that's right. My pleasure. And anything I can do to steer the UK to send something good, I'm all for the cause.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad. And your input is noted and respected. So thank you. Cheers, Liz. And if you want to find out more about Doosport, it is all over wherever you get your podcast. It is well worth checking out. So do that. Just search for Doosport wherever you get your podcasts. Cress will be back on the next edition of Null pois.
Woohoo!